You're listening to an exclusive podcast of Dave's Corner Garage, heard every Saturday morning from 10 to 11 on Zoomer Radio, the new AM 740.
Gentlemen, start your engines!
The following is a paid program. This program may contain adult themes and nudity, and you can never go wrong with that. Speaking of always being right, views expressed on this program are those of life-experienced mechanics. Continued listening may cause addiction and, in rare cases, a rash. Discretion is advised. Buckle up, everyone. It's time to get this show on the road. Time for Dave's Corner Garage, your Saturday morning joyride on Zoomer Radio. Got a car question for Dave or Alan? Call now, 416-360-0740. Or toll free at 1-866-740-4740.
Okay, Al, it's your turn to hit it. Hey, what a great day it is. Any day you wake up in my family is a good day. I like to see that.
Dude, you see the smoke from the tires?
Okay, yeah.
Is that tire smoke we're talking about
hey,
today?
Hey, man, have you been smoking, man?
Hey, they're changing the law next week,
you got marijuana?
Dude. They're changing the law.
Okay, we're going to be talking about that with Kerry Schmidt today from the OPP, what your rights are when you get pulled over, if you get pulled over, why would you get pulled over? You know, because the stuff smells. Just follow the guy
down
the road.
Exactly. You know, you see this huge cloud of smoke coming out of the window, you know. That's reasonable and probable.
I think my rad's got a leak, officer. Darren Bostons is with us today from Salem Tire. We're going to talk about winter tires. I always say snow tires, but I'm old.
Yes.
Yeah, I saw two cars at the gas station with their black Steelies on this morning already.
Winter tires.
Yep. People are getting the word.
And the auto auction is currently on up at the airport, the International Center. Jeff Coy, you know, with our policy of no expenses bared, will be our reporter up there from Lant Insurance, and Jeff's going to tell us how the auction is doing. And we've got news from the industry, some really serious recalls. Hyundai, IKEA, and Toyota.
Hyundai.
I had no IKEA.
I did.
Hyundai. I had no IKEA.
We got one down the road.
Hyundai.
Okay, and finally, we have a great contest going on. CarGenerator.com has given us one of their units to give away, plus $250 worth of the motion lotion that you need to run it, or you can run your car.
What was it? Motion lotion?
Motion lotion.
Is that why he says Hyundai like that?
Yeah, there you go. $250 worth of gas, and it's really interesting to enter. You have to do nothing except name, address, and your, what do you call it, email address. That's what I wanted to say. Okay, I'll take us out when we come back. We'll be talking about Darren. And
we're going to talk about Darren?
Oh, really? The winter.
I don't want to talk about
not
me.
Not in front of his back or behind his back.
By the way, I just want to tell you something that Moses Seimer has his museum for television just next door. Mm-hmm. They have a new exhibit today honoring Philo Farnsworth. That's a real name.
Really?
Philo Farnsworth.
Played for the Leafs back in 43.
Yeah, so he's a forgotten genius, the boy who invented electronic TV. That's free. It's
okay,
on from 11 to 4.
Go for it, Al.
And I had that. That's it.
But this is the car show, so you got a car care question, or you got a question about tires. We will be here. Sounds like we've retired, but we're not.
Sounds like you're get some.
This is Dave's Corner Garage. I'm going to get some Cheetos, and we'll be back in just a minute.
Put the edibles away.
All righty. Welcome back to Dave's Corner Garage. My name's Dave Redinger. I'm with Alan Gelman and, of course, Darren Bossens from Salem Tires. Darren, first off, I want to tell you I use the Salems on the track all season.
Yes, I've seen that.
All season. That's cool.
Summer's almost.
Honest to God, they haven't worn out at all. They just,
you got the ZSRs?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. So they're more of like a summer tire.
I don't know. I squeal them around that track.
You do.
I've done over 100 laps, and they're not even half worn. Fantastic.
That's
tire.
Amazing.
So let's talk about, because the weather's changing, winter tires. I used to call them snow tires, but now they're winter tires.
Correct.
What makes it a winter tire?
Primarily two things, the tread design and the compounding. So the compounding is obviously different. Don't really know the ingredient changes, et cetera. And it wouldn't really mean anything to anybody. But it's a lot softer compound, so it stays softer in the cold, because typically rubber will get hard in the cold.
You ever see a hockey puck?
There you go, prime
example. They slide, eh? Really good.
They slide, and they're hard.
They're made out of rubber.
They are. And then obviously the tread design, so you're going to get a lot more siping. The when you talk about the snow tires of old,
yeah.
they were big, luggy, almost like mud tires.
Right,
that
yeah.
you typically get on a.
What do you think of an old
truck.
Jeep? You know, with the,
exactly, yeah. exactly. Now they're typically you know asymmetrical. They're typically like an all season type tire with a lot more siping in it, which gives you your traction a little.
Now, do they are they noisier than a regular tire?
Typically, yes, they are, but I've seen examples of where they're actually, you know, more quiet than an all season in some cases, depending on the vehicle and the tread design of the two tires you're comparing.
Because in the old days, when you had big blocks, you know, where you could actually see each one,
yeah, and the voids, and, big and voids,
big voids in between yeah. them, and those would be very, very noisy,
very,
and so many, so often, you know, you see on cars where they're worn unevenly as well.
Yes, typical.
So, yeah.
Well, I used to remember like the 51 Chevy, 4 pounds of cement back there.
There you go. And you're good to go.
And one wheel will always spin.
Good for fuel
you know,
mileage.
And you don't hear that anymore. You know, the guys are pushing the cars to get them up the hill.
Nope.
These things just go right up the hill.
They
no problem.
Do. It's,
well, don't forget so many vehicles now are, you know, all-wheel drive or four-wheel
most,
drive.
Yeah.
Which
yeah.
makes it better. But I just want to break a fallacy. You know, a lot of people think that because if they drive one of these big honking four-wheel drive vehicles,
yep.
that they don't need to go with, you know, all-weather or a winter tire. But that's not the case, is it?
No, no. Like, at the end of the day, in a you know, the reality of it is you're using the biting edges or the snow tire for starting and stopping.
So stopping
is really more key to the equation. So...
So right,
4x4 doesn't mean anything about stopping.
Exactly. You've got, you know, 4 squares of rubber that got to stick to the road.
Exactly.
In fact, I mentioned in my Facebook page that... or Facebook post that, you know, all the technology in the world, you could have traction control, you could have ABS, but that depends on the tire staying stuck to the road. And if there's no, you know, traction, all those things can't work at all.
No, and that's really your only point. It is your only point of contact for the vehicle is the tires.
I remember the tow truck drivers always said the car furthest out in the field was the four-wheel drive.
That's usually what it is. You just go further into the bush.
Exactly right. So now there is all season, all weather, winter tires. There's summer tires.
Yeah.
Like, it's driving me crazy. How do people actually decide what to purchase?
Well, typically, what most people know, which is what most cars come with, are all seasons, unless you're into high-performance cars. They usually come with summers. All season really means three season here in Canada. All season is more of a term you'd use maybe down in the Carolinas and south
okay.
of there, right, where they don't really get snow at all. And the temperature doesn't deviate as much as it does here. So all seasons are what you typically run in the summer. Obviously, summer tires are what you'd run in the summer. You definitely cannot run those in the winter. Winter tires are what you'd run typically in the winter.
Right, obviously.
And then all weather is kind of a hybrid between an all season and a winter that you can run all year round. So it still has the three peak mountain snowflake designation that allows you to run it as winter tires.
Okay.
But you can run them in the summer as well.
So Darren Bostons has a four-door sedan. He drives to work every day. What's on your car?
Winters in the winter and summers are all seasons.
Over.
I do, yeah.
Interesting.
Sure.
So there's an industry expert that actually does switch over.
Oh, absolutely. And
because
there's nothing better in the winter than a winter tire.
Absolutely.
You know, so that's the way you want to go. I mean, all-weather tires is a relatively new thing. They've only been out for not even 10 years.
Yep.
And now Salen has a line of them as well, correct?
Yeah, the 4S, basically 15 to 17 inch right now, about 12 different sizes. We were adding about 9 sizes this year in the 15 and 16 inch. So, I tell people, like, if you're, you know, in a condo or you have limited space and it might be the way to go, or mm-hmm. depending on if you're maybe you're down in Florida for the winter months, you know, but you still have to get there, you're driving. It's not a bad option, but at the end of the day, a winter tire is better than an all-weather, and an all-season or summer tire is better than an all-weather.
Now, it's an expensive proposition. Like, if you've got to buy winter tires, you've got to buy a set of rims, and in some cases, a TPS sensor.
Yes, and a lot of the sensors now, I think they work off the
drive shafts
and yeah. that, so you don't necessarily need the TPMS. You don't have to go with separate rims. It's just if you want it, most rims now that come on cars OE are nice aluminum rims, so mm-hmm. you don't want to, you know, get the salt and all the stuff that happens in the winter, potholes, etc. I just got mine fixed last week. I had 4 bends in my rim.
Get out of here.
Four.
Steve drive your car and bounce it off the curb?
I did.
And you know, consider yourself lucky that they were repairable.
Yes.
Because if you break one or if it's bent too bad, you know, you're talking $600, $1,000 just for a wheel rim.
Yes, it can get very expensive.
We call that parking by braille.
There you go. I'm there.
And this is where it's important, you know, to go talk to a tire expert so you know what to get.
Yes, definitely. It's the best way to go.
Again, because there are options, like you had mentioned, too. You know, do you have a place to store these tires? How long are you planning on keeping the car?
Yep.
These are important things to look at when you're before you go and buy.
Well, definitely. A lot of people are leasing cars.
Yes.
Right? A tremendous amount of people are leasing cars. So for a lease car, would a guy invest in that sort of stuff, or would he just not do anything?
Typically, like, I look at it this way. It comes down to safety, right,
yeah.
at the end of the day. Winter tires perform much better than all season or summers, for that matter, in winter, and vice versa for the summer months. So if you want to be safe, and I think I've said this many times, I've never had, you know, winter tires until I started in the tire business. I would never not have them. Like, it's just the comfort level you have is, you know, the times where you start sliding and you're slipping and, you know, your heart goes up in your mouth because you think you're going to hit somebody or end up in the ditch. I don't think it's happened to me once since having.
So the rule of thumb is, if you live north of Highway 7,
yes,
definitely.
Definitely. Definitely.
And you also get a slight insurance break, too, with winter tires.
Yes, correct.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah. I think it's like up to 5%, depending on the insurance company.
So they kick that back to you.
Yeah.
Good stuff.
So.
And if you know, on a lease car, maybe if you sold it or back, you still have this set of rims you can put on the next one or sell them.
Yeah.
I mean, I remember when I lost my little Kia there, I actually sold my tires off. I got $500 for them.
Yeah. No, you can always sell them.
Right.
It's the best way to go, I'm telling you.
Works so well.
He's standing. Look out. He's standing.
How are we doing? Come and look at the board. See who's coming up next after the break. We've got Al and Brand Bend. We've got Anita in New Hamburg. And we're going to take those calls right after this break. This is Dave's Corner Garage.
Welcome back. This is Dave's Corner Garage. And don't forget, you can go to davescornergarage.com and enter to win $250 worth of gas, courtesy of us, plus a car generator, which is a very cool device that you can see how it works on our website. davescornergarage.com. Back over to you with a brand new Walmart sweater, by the way. Nice one.
No, it's an old one. A couple of things. First off, we're talking about generators. I did talk to my appliance guys, and they said a gas generator, one that operates off natural gas, is noisy. They rumble and vibrate, and you can hear them all over town.
Yeah, but they're outside.
Yeah, but it's still the house vibrates.
Really?
Yeah, because it's hooked up to the house or wherever, and you hear that thing chuffing away. So the car generator thing there, my wife said I could buy one.
Isn't that nice?
I got permission.
Yeah.
There's a quick article in the Wheels section today from Norris, who we all know and love. Next Saturday night at the Glenn Gould Theater is the Hall of Fame induction
ceremony.
Mm-hmm. If you want to go, the tickets are $95 a piece. They're tax deductible. All you have to do is to go to CMHF.ca. CMHF, which probably stands for Canadian
Motorsport Hall of Fame. How's that? I just guessed that. You know, I'm throwing it out there. Took a wild one.
So, if you're reading about it, it's very interesting. Jacques Villeneuve is going to be
inducted.
Yeah, he won the Indianapolis 500, passed the whole field twice to do that.
All right.
Wow.
Nice guy. Good guy. Let's go to the phones and just say hi.
We're going to talk to Al in Grand Bend. Okay.
Yeah.
He's got a RAV4. What's up with that, Al?
Okay, I have a 2013 Toyota RAV4.
Uh-huh.
It's got the 2.5-liter four-cylinder.
Yep.
With variable valve timing.
Mm-hmm.
We purchased the vehicle from Toyota in 2015, and it had about 35,000 K on it.
So you bought a used car with warranty?
Yes, that's right. Correct.
Okay.
Yes,
yep.
It had been serviced from new by Toyota. It now has 87,000 K on it. I've changed the oil and filter every 8,000 K with fully synthetic.
All right, Al, so what's the problem with it?
Okay. When you start up from a cold start, if the vehicle's been sitting 6 to 8 hours, the valve train is quite noisy for 2 to 3 seconds until it gets oil pressure, and then it's perfect.
Have you been back to the dealer?
Yeah, I've been back to the dealer numerous times. I've talked to corporate Toyota. Everybody says this is normal. Well, when we purchased the vehicle, it didn't do this.
Right.
My wife drives the vehicle primarily, and I think this started after the first winter that we owned the vehicle.
Well, so has the dealer mentioned that there is a fix of any kind or what they could do possibly for you to fix it?
No, they want me to pay to, well, first of all, they're saying that the noise is normal.
Okay. Secondly, but you don't like it. So I just wanted to try to get to the point here. So what did they say it's going to take to fix that or eliminate the noise?
I would have to pay to have them tear the engine down to investigate why it's doing this.
Well, right. And it's, you know what, I think, so, and you're not happy with that answer, obviously. Why?
No, the vehicle was under warranty, well under warranty, when I first started complaining about this.
Okay, I see where you're coming from. You know what? I would suggest this, that the sound, for the most part, is as much as it's not normal for your ears and you don't like it, I have seen it in many, many vehicles before. In fact, Honda CR-Vs suffer the same kind of thing.
Nissan, though.
Yeah. You know, there is a little bit of looseness in there, but the problem is to correct it, you're going to have to be doing an awful lot of work. And, the noise could, you know, although it lasts only for a few seconds and does diminish, it could stay like that for a number of years. And like you say, the manufacturer's not prepared to make that commitment, you know, unless so you want to spend the money. So there's really no cheap fix on that. You could perhaps try a better grade oil or a thicker grade oil. That may help. They make
an additive.
Make oil additives, exactly, like an STP kind of stuff. You could try that. But again, they're telling you it's not a big thing to worry about, then I wouldn't worry for now.
By the way, before we rush off, a CHR Toyota major recall. If you got a late model 2009 CHR Toyota, the wheels could fall off. 609 vehicles in Canada are affected. 900 vehicles in the U.S. are affected.
Now, that wouldn't be normal.
That would be abnormal.
Abnormal.
And make a lot of noise on startup.
And scary.
And scary. So if you're driving one of those vehicles, I definitely would contact Toyota and find out if yours is one of the things. Apparently, the rear axle bolts could come loose or detached. Not a good way to meet people on the side of the road.
Exactly. All right, thanks for calling in with that, and hopefully we're able to shed some light.
Yep.
We're going to take a break right now, and after the break, what are we doing, Dave?
Sergeant Schmidt is going to come on the phone.
October 17th, big day.
Yeah.
Legal
sell
stuff.
Your stock, sell your stock.
This is Dave's Corner Garage. We're going to go light up a fat one, and we'll be back after this break.
Yes.
Welcome back. This is Dave's Corner Garage, and of course, the week coming up is a big one here right across Canada. So we want you to know more about what your rights are and what you can and can't do when you're driving on the roads should you partake in the C word, cannabis. And with us is Kerry Schmidt from the OPP. Good morning, Kerry.
Hey, good morning.
Hey, Kerry, so you're driving along and you have this odor coming in from the car in front of you. And you pull him over and you go, have you got any marijuana? And, and he goes, no, sir. He says, you want some? No, sir.
It's all gone now.
Oh, yeah. Cheech and Chong going on down the highway here. We've seen all that. And, boy, you can't miss that smell, can you?
So when it is legal, it still will be illegal to use it in your car, correct?
You're right. Absolutely. This doesn't change the way we do any of our business. Impaired driving, still impaired driving. Smoking in your car is still illegal, always has been. And that's going to be part of that same smoke-free rule. The problem is marijuana is impairing. And it changes your reaction times. It changes your behaviors. And that's why people take it. So they think they're fine after smoking marijuana. Well, they're impaired already. They're smoking it, and that's the problem.
Oh, here, I got a question for you, Kerr.
Yeah.
Let's say, you know, you're a reasonable driver, or you're a designated driver. Are the other people in your car allowed to smoke?
No, they're not. So right now the law is you can't smoke in your vehicle. You can only smoke in your private residence or in a private place, and a vehicle is not considered that private place. So you are not permitted to smoke, even as a passenger in the vehicle, because even that smoke has the ability to impair those that are inhaling it. So secondhand smoke can cause impairments on the driver.
There you go.
Kerry, here's a question we've been talking to in the with guys in the green room. So we understand that, yes, you can't do it while you're driving. You get pulled over, and you should be if you've been drinking too much. However, if you're at a party, okay, or you just at a function, whatever, and you're having a few, and I don't mean drinks, but you're not driving yet, But you leave that party and you go into your car and you're driving. Nobody is smoking or doing anything in the car. You get pulled over. How does this law change your forces team on the roads when people get tested if they're not smoking when they're in the car?
Well, it's just like someone who's not drinking when they're in the car. If they're showing evidence of impairment, if they're a little bit stoned, a little bit buzzed, and you can pick up on that, we do a standard field sobriety test on people that we suspect may be impaired by alcohol or by drugs. And those tests will give the officer a very good indication whether or not this person has been smoking or has been drinking in the recent past. Now, people may think, well, yeah, I've only had a couple of tokes and they were just passing the joint around and I only had a couple of puffs. Well, you know, that is going into your system, and that will stay in your system. And the impairing effects can actually last longer than the stoned or the buzz effects. So that THC is going to be in your system, in your bloodstream. It'll be stored in your fat cells and so on. But it will have effects longer.
Boy, do I have a problem.
I got lots of fat cells.
So, you're in your green room. I hope that green room is painted green and not green or something else.
We're not saying anything.
Hey, one
other question. Sorry, Dave.
Yeah.
What are the levels for passing or failing? Is it the same as alcohol or is it different?
Well, the criminal code, section 253, says anyone driving a motor vehicle who's impaired by alcohol or drug. So the charge is identical. It is the same offense of alcohol. So there's no change in the penalties. Now, there are other provincial sanctions that there's a zero tolerance for young and novice drivers and drivers of commercial vehicles. So if you're operating a transport truck or a large vehicle that requires an A, B, C, D, E, F type license other than a G, there is zero tolerance. Now, that is subject to testing by roadside screening devices, and we don't have that in our arsenal right now. We're using the standard field sobriety testing systems with officers doing those tests. So that's something that will change as the time goes by and as technology advances and as we get different pieces of equipment to do our job.
So what you're saying, sorry to interrupt, but what you're saying is you have to get out of the car, walk the line, follow the pencil, etc.
That's right. That's the standard field sobriety test.
Yeah. Now, but you've also added something else to your arsenal. Is it a saliva tester? What is it?
Well, yeah, that's been approved through the government, and mm-hmm. That is an available tool that police services can use. We do not have those devices in our inventory at this point. That may change down the road, but we're waiting for decisions from our corporate and from our senior command. So I'll keep you posted on that. But in the end, our job is the same. We're trying to keep our highways safe and our public safe and our communities, and we're going to be looking for those impaired drivers. But we can't do it alone. So if you are at a party, you know someone who's impaired by any means, you need to raise your voice. You need to let that be known. And if they won't stop on your influence, well, then you got to call us. And 911 is the closest number, and we'll come and make sure the person does not get in the vehicle, does not put the public at risk, and hold them accountable.
Hey, October 17th, 12 o'clock midnight, it's legal. I bet you 12:01 is the first guy you pull over.
Well, we're getting drug-impaired drivers already.
Yeah.
So I don't know how long the lineup is for people to go and, order their online marijuana. But, it's an issue already. We're charging and arresting and taking these drug-impaired drivers off the roads already. And keep in mind, it's not just marijuana. There's every other type of drug, illicit prescription over-the-counter that people can abuse, and that will impair your judgment.
All right, Kerry, thank you very much for joining us. We appreciate the heads up. You sound like you know everything there is to know about marijuana. too much.
You have to go through a lot of training.
Kerry, enjoy your weekend, and hope you're not too busy next week.
Not yet. No. I can still see the pencil.
All right, this is Dave's Corner Garage. We'll be back right after this break.
Welcome back. This is Dave's Corner Garage. Lots of calls to get to. Let's not wait. Get to them.
Exactly. Okay. Yeah. First off, I just want to say that if you've got a call and you're not getting through, hang on the line. We will stay for a few minutes after the show to answer them. All right. Now we're going to go to Guelph, and we've got Ron on the line. He's got a question about winter tires, and we've got the guy in the studio to answer, Darren Bossens. Ron, what's your question? Ron? Ron in Guelph. Are you still with us, my friend?
We lost.
There you go. Were we out checking the tire pressures or what?
No, I'm in a dead zone out near the airport here, heading towards the auction with the tickets I won from you.
Oh, great. Nice.
Super. So you got a question about tires for us.
Well, yeah, you guys have mentioned everything else, but you haven't mentioned the difference in wear between all seasons, all weather, and winter tires. What can I expect in difference of, like, are they going to last 10,000 kilometers less or... What's the difference in wear?
Great question.
Yeah, no, great question. Typically, obviously, you know, all things the same, same driver, same car, et cetera. You're typically going to get a little less on winter tires, but remember, they're softer. And the big thing, too, I've got to put in, don't drive winter tires in the warmer weathers because they obviously wear off very quickly. But, you know, when the temperatures are out, you know, below 7 and below 0, the rubber's essentially kind of the same as an all season in the summer. So you should get typically a little bit less, and you're probably right, about 10,000, 20,000, depending on what tires you're comparing, less on a winter tire than you would say on an all season.
I see guys driving winter tires all year round.
Some people, like, you know, even my wife sometimes, she'll leave them on. Like, she just never gets in to get them changed off. The problem is, you know, they're going to wear a lot faster in the warmer weather.
It's like Christmas lights. It's like, if you hit July, you might as well just...
Yes. You know, I got to tell you guys, though, you know, we talk about, you know, people who have the space and the time and the money to get separate sets of tires. I have a lot of old people that happen to come to me, and they only drive 10,000 kilometers a year, and they really don't have the space. So I tell them it's, you know, it's not the end of the world. All they're doing is driving the car from the apartment to Max Milk or to Shoppers, okay?
Yeah. And they can choose not to go out if the weather's really
exactly. Yes, right. So, you know, when they...
And they don't go on the highway.
So I have no problem with, you know, leaving their winter tires on all year round.
No.
But again, for our caller, if there is a concern, yes, the softer rubber on the the winter or the all-season tire, the all-weather tire.
Almost got you there.
You do want to get those off, you know, on time.
What about tire pressure, guys? Should it change that much between
a winter
tire?
It doesn't change at all, my
friend. Nothing at all.
Nothing.
No. Before we take the next call, I just want to tell you that if you're getting your car crowned, I was at the site the other day, you can get a free can of rust protection and lubricant.
Stuff
we call Spritz.
Yeah, it works great.
Right? It's free if you get your car
It's on until the end of the month, I think, is it?
End of the month. If you go to Crown's website, you can actually pick it up there. Alrighty, let's talk to Alan, who's been holding off for a while. Alan, you're on the phone.
I am. Alan in Mississauga. What's going on?
Hey, and how are you, Dave and Alan?
I'm good. You know what, Al? We made a boo-boo. We hardly ever do that. But I ask you to hang on the line because we got to take a quick break. And we'll get to you and your terrain right after this break. This is Dave's Corner Garage.
Dave'sCornerGarage.com. Enter to win the contest. Ton of calls, as Al was saying. So let's get to it right now.
Okay, you know, as our policy is no expenses spared, we're going over to the auto auction, and we're going to talk to Jeff Coy from Lant Insurance, who has a booth right next to the stage.
You told me Jeff Coy had a Woody.
A 36 Ford.
See, it just 39. Threw him right up. 1939 Woody.
Is it 39 or 36?
I don't know. When 39. It gets old, who can tell with
Jeff,
Woody?
Jeff, good morning.
Good morning. How are you guys?
Good. How's the auction going? How are you going? What's your favorite car?
Huh? It's just firing up now, and lots of buyers here, so it should be a busy day.
Jeff, what's your favorite car? I mean, I know you're right across from that beautiful blue, I think it's a 36 Ford Woody?
Yeah, 39.
Steve was right, and he knows nothing about cars.
No, that is,
thank you so much. That's terrific.
That's a beautiful car. There's quite a few. There's a 28... Cadillac dual cowl Phaeton here.
Wow.
Nice piece of machinery. But my favorite is, it's a little bit odd. It's a 91 Chevy Camaro Z28. It's a promo car that was used in the Halifax Grand Prix for the Players Challenge, if you remember those.
Yes.
Road races.
Yes.
Back in the 90s. And,
it's the white one against the wall.
Yeah. It's one of 32, all numbers matching. And I happen to know the owner. He was an appraiser, classic car appraiser, and he's got a couple of them. So he's looking to restore another one and sell this one. So
what does a car like that go for? I mean, it's a unique car, unique history, right?
Yeah. It's hard to say. It could go for, 20, 30 grand.
Interesting.
Unless Dave gets there, and it'll probably go for, what?
No, I'd start at 15. Seven.
Yeah, you'd probably start at 10.
Question, is there any appraisers actually working the auction?
There are a couple there, yes.
So, would it, in fact, let's say you're a novice and you just come out to the auction because you want to see it and you see a car, but you kind of really don't know at that point what it's worth. Is there someone there to ask that you'd know if the bidding got silly? Yeah.
Yep. And even, we've had some do appraisals right there when they buy it or take a look at the car for someone and, kind of check it out for them.
Now, when I was talking to you yesterday, you were saying that this auction really kicks off a flurry of business for you. People buy cars.
It does. It's odd that it's the fall when we're typically slowing down for our season, but it kind of rejuvenates it for a few weeks. We get a flurry of activity after the auction, people buying and selling, and just a lot of movement in the hobby.
So I go to the auction, I buy a vehicle, and I come to you right away because you've got a booth there.
You can walk right over. Yeah, we can insure you right there.
And drive it home.
You can.
I think you should get yourself a Woody, Dave.
I like that car, but I have no place to keep it.
Yeah.
That's
fun. That car is not a driver, that's for sure.
No.
You just got to put that in your little museum.
Well, the other thing is that looking at those cars as an investment, there is a lack of vehicles in Canada because the U.S. dollar is so strong. So you would actually make a lot of money buying a car like that, storing it for 2-3 years, and then it's a smaller market to go to.
Yeah, definitely.
Right?
Definitely a good investment, yeah.
Do people basically do that? Is there a big market for just investing, or do people buy it and drive it?
Yeah. But it's usually a longer term. They do want to enjoy it, and it depends on the cars that are really skyrocketing in value. Now it's the late '60s Ferraris and Porsches that have some kind of racing pedigree.
All right, question. So you're out at the airport, correct?
Yep.
And
International Center.
Free parking.
Free parking
on all weekend, Friday, Saturday, Sunday.
Yes.
Yep. All right.
Not Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Saturday and Sunday.
Well, Friday's gone. Jeff, thanks for joining us. Enjoy the auction.
Okay, thanks, guys.
Okay, wait, before you run, what's your website?
Landinsurance.ca.
Yeah, if you forget that, you're in big trouble.
Don't forget, don't scratch your head or your nose because you could buy a car by accident. All righty?
Yes.
All right, take care, Jeff. Have a great weekend.
Thank you, guys, too.
Thank you. Jeff Coy from Land Insurance was our representative at the auto auction today. I'm scooting over there after lunch just to see what's going on.
All right, and we're going to find out if Alan has lost his terrain of thought after this break.
Welcome back.
All right,
Dave's
here we go.
Corner Garage completely off the rails as normal. Welcome back. Here's Dave.
All righty, just a quick announcement. Hyundai and Kia, now 2.9 million cars, are being requested for a recall from the Center of Automotive Safety, which is one of those consumer groups in the States.
What happens?
Apparently, there's fires under the dash. The wiring gets hot and starts smoking.
Wow.
So that and engine failures for a certain type of engine that they do actually carry.
So you could say to the cop, it wasn't me. It was the car smoking.
It wasn't marijuana. It was wiring. So bottom line is, you got a Hyundai Kia, get in touch with your dealer and find out if you're one of them.
Exactly. Get up, before you catch fire. Alan in Mississauga's next. He's got a 16 Terrain. What's wrong with it?
Yeah, I just got an oil change today.
Great.
And I mentioned to the mechanic there, you know, you get these emails once a month and tells you got 40% life left in your oil.
Okay.
And I happened to check the dipstick this morning, and it must have been down a liter and a half. And
okay.
I only put 7,000 kilometers on it, but he's telling me that's normal. I mean, how can a 2016 Terrain burn oil like that?
Well, unfortunately, a lot of new cars burn oil, and for a car to burn a liter every couple thousand kilometers, unfortunately, is not abnormal anymore.
That's correct, yeah.
So this is why it's important that you don't depend on the computer for the light or a message to come up. You got to do it like the old days. Put in the dipstick, pull it out, see how much you got.
And actually, you should do it at least once a month to check the oil.
Put in your dipstick.
I check in my wife's oil all the time.
Just can't let it go, can you?
A lot of cars don't have dipsticks anymore.
Yeah, Al, do you still have your dipstick?
Well, it's I do. I do.
We're happy to hear that.
Are you checking it monthly?
Yeah.
Once in the summer, not so often in the winter.
I'm not talking how often I dip it. It's really nobody's business.
That's
okay?
True.
Seriously. But I check my oil regularly.
We're very happy to hear that.
That's what I meant.
All right. We got Darren Bossens in the studio. Much younger
question.
Guy. Probably dips way often, more often than we do. Anyways, question about winter tires.
Yeah. No, the last question, what's the best piece of advice we can give you from a tire expert?
On winter tires?
On all tires.
Not dipsticks.
On all tires, check your pressures monthly.
Yeah?
Yes. That's for the life of the tire, fuel efficiency. It's the best advice you can give anybody. Check your pressures.
Well, you know what? Our audience here, he was all worried because he had a scratch in the side of his sidewall.
Yeah, you can check for scratches, too, while you're doing that.
So he nicked the curb, and he damaged a little bit of the rubber.
Right.
So there, if you don't see the cord or anything like that, you're pretty well safe, right?
You're pretty fine, yeah. And if any question, you can always take it by a tire dealer and let them take a look at it if you're uncertain.
But which leads me to the next question. Your site shows where the nearest tire dealer is?
Yeah, we have a dealer locator on Salentires.ca.
Yeah, right. As the tire locator.
Yep.
And is there? You brought out some new tires, some new information. That's also on there.
Yep. So. We got some new. We got the Inspire, which is a new model. We also have the MT, which is a new model.
Here's the million-dollar question, which is liquid phase mixing. This is something we talked about in the green room.
Yes.
It's a new way to make tires.
It's a new way to make, yeah. So I'm not going to say the old days, but how typically tires are made, they're put into a big mixer called a Banbury mixer, and the rubber, the carbon black, the oxidized, all the chemicals go in there, and it's mixed up. Because you're putting solids, liquids, powders all together, you get you can only get it mixed so much.
So it's variations.
So it's you're going to get a little more higher levels of certain ingredients in this part of the tire to that part. The new thing, liquid phase mixing, does it more in a liquid form, more down to the nanometer type of thing.
So it's a more homogeneous kind of mix.
More homogeneous mix, exactly.
Homogeneous, not homogeneous.
Yeah, well, both. You can use either word. They're
homogeneous, that means somebody who's really smart.
So the question is, now you're one of the only manufacturers that does this.
Correct. Yes, and it's very new technology, so you probably won't see tires out on the market mixed this way for probably another 6 months to a year.
And they're better tires?
Much better.
Interesting. Well, you know what? The tires have come so far because I don't see any guy pulled over on the 401 or anywhere with a blown tire. I can't remember since that's happened.
The people don't realize the technology that goes into tires. It's unbelievable. And there's always, new stuff coming out. So, you very seldom see,
cars don't even come with spares anymore.
Exactly. Right? Yeah. My cars definitely don't, that's for sure.
Right. You're driving a BMW hot rod sports car.
Yeah, there's never spares.
But I'm driving an SUV, and it has no spare tire in it, right?
Yeah.
And I've driven it to Florida. I've driven it to the East Coast.
Aren't a lot of the 2019s not going to have spare tires anymore?
No, because there's a lot of weight to carry.
A lot of weight,
Right, it's 100
that you may never need.
It's also going to save money for the manufacturers too.
I had my Jeep for 15 years. The tires turned to stone on the back.
Yes, for sure, crispy.
Right.
Well, how many flats have you got in the last 10 years?
I can't remember.
Yeah.
I can't remember because I'm old.
I don't want to talk about it because that's a guarantee you're going to get one tomorrow.
No,
okay?
Knock on wood.
No, but we're talking how vehicles, even vans, for example, that's how they've achieved 7-seater vans in some cases.
Mm. Because of?
Because that they got rid of the spare. Now they have a little bit of room more seats, So even if you have a Sienna 7-seater, run flat tires, no spare.
And all tires, no matter what the costs are, have to pass a minimum standard that the government sets.
Correct.
So price and safety really don't relate to each other.
No.
Right? So price is really performance. In other words, it's a grippier tire or it's a smaller tire.
Performance and branding.
And
for
branding.
Sure, yeah.
So you can take a cheap tire, put a fancy name on it, and bingo,
you're probably in. You just got to spend a lot of money to market that.
Which all impressions, right? It's not really value.
Yeah, no, exactly. You got to look for value in anything you buy, I always say.
Right? So that's the market that you're in. You're called the three tier?
Yeah, tier three, the value tier, right?
Exactly. So. Good stuff.
Yep.
Darren, thank you for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
Darren is VP of
Sailing Tires.
Yeah.
VP of sales.
Oh, you got a raise? No one told me about that.
Yeah.
At Salen, you got an office on the second floor.
That's it. You move up.
just check your dipstick, Al. You'll see the news. It'll come up in the news.
Alan, thanks for joining us.
Yeah, I'm going to go check out the Woody out at the auction.
I hope so. Don't forget, you can still enter to win the car generator and the gas coupon for $250
right.
at davescornergarage.com, and the contest is on for the entire month. Do it before it snows.
Thank you, Sebastian, as usual.
And just remember, on this coming week, just because you got them doesn't mean you can smoke them, eh?
Yeah. Okay, have a great weekend. Talk to you next week. Bye-bye.
This has been an exclusive podcast of Dave's Corner Garage. Heard every Saturday morning from 10 to 11 on Zoomer Radio, the new AM 740.